This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. First Friday of the month. It's the first Friday of December, and we will take your questions, your telephone calls, your stories about dogs this afternoon. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're from the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they've been joining us on the first Friday of the month for a good number of years now, and it's always such
How many is three or four?
At least.
I don't know.
We're watching ourselves age all these years.
Today's my brother's birthday.
Is it?
One of my brothers.
And Happy birthday to Brother Keel.
Nothing. It's just how I remember what day it is.
And it's odd you'd mention that because I was thinking that walking up the walk today, how many years?
We'll have to look into this. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, why don't I give the telephone numbers? In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, 333-WILL. Anywhere else you're listening, call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. That's 800-222-WILL. Jim brought in pictures to show us.
Two.
Two pictures of three dogs. Aren't they cute?
They're beautiful. How old are these guys? They're pups still, right?
The pictures are only a few weeks old. The pups are about two.
We have to stop laughing at him because it'll only get worse. It's just the beginning of the show.
Yeah, Celeste threatened to turn the car around before we went on the air.
Well, they were misbehaving.
Misbehaving in the back seat. Carol was trying to get the window seat. These pups are about 3 months old in the pictures, and they're about 3.5 months old now. Yeah. They've pretty much chewed up my hands.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And you see right there? One of them, I was giving him a cookie, and they have these little sharp teeth.
Yeah.
They haven't learned how to take cookies yet.
Puppies
you have to teach
and kitties
them.
And have very sharp teeth.
It went in. I don't think it hit my bone, but it felt like it hit my bone.
You know, speaking of that, this happened to my husband, who's not, you know, Mr. Dogman by any means, but he was feeding them from the table. Uh-oh. But he doesn't like... He's so dear, and I know he's not listening, but he doesn't like to, like, have dog lips and stuff on his hands, so he was dropping...
Dog lips have dog spit.
That's why. He was dropping it, and it was a very enticing piece of food, and Hulky was so anxious to get it, so tooth and hand met.
Uh-huh.
But he... And I shouldn't even say this on the air, because I'll probably arrest him. He bit... His tooth punctured his finger.
Ouch.
And he bled. And he was like, your dog bit me. I said, no, the dog did not bite you. This is how you were feeding the
Carol's
dog
in serious denial
foolish
here.
Fashion. You know, that's not the way to do it. So he was stunned. It was just like little drops of blood. It was nothing dramatic.
Okay. The rule
but it was his blood that our place was most important.
Well, if it's less than three stitches, we don't even bother to go in.
Who was it that said, I hate the sight of blood, especially my own?
Yeah.
I think that was me.
Was that you? Okay. We've got a caller waiting to talk with us on line one. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just got I have a 6 month Maltese, and she has this. Can you hear me?
Oh, sure.
Okay. And she's just beautiful. She's almost 4 pounds, and we have put her on IMs, puppy food. But anyway, she has this tendency of going and eating, you know what I mean, kind of poo-poos or whatever. So we...
Yum.
Yes, exactly. In any event, we put her on Forbid, F-O-R-B-I-D,
uh-huh.
And that helps for, you know, a couple of weeks then, but she has this tendency. In our backyard, she also has a tendency of finding rabbits, you know, whatever.
They really like that.
Yum,
better
yum.
Than their own.
I don't know what to do. We get so frustrated and angry and whatever. So please help. So I'm going to hang up and listen, okay? Thanks.
Okay, don't get angry.
Rabbit poop, mine, that's the delicacy of delicacies. And I just look away. I mean, I'll pick up their poop, but I'm not going to run around and look for a little rabbit pellets all over the yard. I'll go nuts. I have to.
And you don't have far to go.
Tell him to stop it, Celeste, now.
I'm going to turn this studio around right now. Okay, now let's get back to the issue at hand. Why don't you?
I understand the problem.
Yeah.
I've got a gazillion dogs, not just one, and especially in the winter.
Oh yes.
When the doo doo becomes frozen, it's the dogs will literally fight over it. One of the problems is we have, IAMS might be a problem here. Here are some thoughts. One, it ain't that serious a problem. It bothers us more than it bothers the dog.
Well, her.
But obviously it's bothering her. IAMS is a very high quality, high protein dog food, and the dog may not be able to digest it all. So what we regard as refuse, you know, dogs are always in the garbage saying, why are you throwing this away? This is still good. The same goes with their droppings, that they haven't fully digested them and they're eating them. And eating scat is just not unusual at all. It might help to make it less palatable to feed a less high-protein dog food. I've never heard of forbid, have you?
Mm-hmm. It's sprinkled on the food. It's supposed to take away the palatability of poop, which is an oxymoron to me, but not to dogs.
The common remedy is to use a meat tenderizer.
Mm-hmm.
And put it on. It's also supposed to make, and you don't put it on the poop. You put it on the dog food. And the third thing you can do, besides these things that you put on the food, is just try to go out and clean up after the dog as fast as possible.
You know, I'm going to guess, based on this dog's age of 4 months, that it was raised in an environment where that was probably not uncommon. So
well,
now
it's not unusual for the dogs to do it.
Well, to me, a four-month-old puppy wouldn't start eating poop just out of...
Oh, you're so naive.
What, mine
never
did?
See these puppies right here? They're 3 months old.
Yeah, but these guys all grew up together. This is a little puppy in its own yard. I don't think it would do that.
Sure it would.
You think so?
It's just the dogs do it. Most dogs do it.
It's a real common problem, but I'll be real frank. When I see it occur, I just feel my stomach flip.
I kind of yell at the dog, say, oh, don't do that.
It's so sickening to me.
For us, the problem is generally in our heads and not in the dogs, except when they come in after a scatological repast and want to give you a kiss. then it's like, get away from me. Oh, yeah.
And their breath smells bad.
Oh.
Really, the best thing is to pick it up as soon as they defecate, pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The rabbit pellets would be a bigger problem.
I just deal with it.
Maybe signs saying rabbits need not apply or something like that. I don't know how to stop the rabbits.
If people have cats, then dogs get in the litter box. I mean,
I have several amusing stories about dogs in cat litter boxes, yes.
Well, go ahead with one.
Well, one of them, we got another caller?
No, not at the moment.
One of them.
Nobody wants to call.
Susie, I think Susie.
Please call.
was in the house, and we had put a box over the cat litter box to keep the dogs out of it. Well, late at night, we hear this, 3 in the morning, we hear this bang, bang, bang crash. And, you know, away to the window, I flew like a flash, you know, and turned on the lights, and into the bedroom comes Susie with the box. She had gotten into the box to get...
She's wearing the box.
She couldn't get the box off, and she'd gone from the kitchen through the house into the bedroom saying, get this thing off of me. And, that was kind of funny.
But, did you laugh at the time?
Oh, we couldn't stop laughing at this poor distressed animal. we were kind of frightened at first, you know, because you hear this late night things is going bump in the night. You know, what is this? But it's not an uncommon problem, and it doesn't hurt the dog generally.
Yeah, so.
It hurts us.
She did mention that she does get angry about it, and that's not going to help the situation because the dog doesn't understand. So actually the best thing is to go out and clean it up and continue using the forbid. If that seemed to work, I wouldn't discontinue using it.
Mm-hmm. And
pineapple's supposed to, if you add pineapple.
Pineapple?
To the,
I haven't heard that.
There's enzymes in pineapple do something.
The idea is to get the food completely digested. That's why IAMS is really a high-protein food, high-protein, high-fat food, and probably more than the dog needs.
Yeah. Even for a pup?
Even for a pup.
That's true. Because puppy food especially is even... Oh, it's more palatable, more good things in there for puppies. Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice do you guys have to share in regards to selecting puppy food or dog food? Because people want to give their
spend
animal.
As much money as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No,
but I would buy the highest quality, but how do you know? I mean, you have to find somebody that you can
trust.
Most
commercial dog foods today are really excellent. Jim's theory on the overpopulation of dogs and animals and or pets in general is, in the old days, nutrition wasn't all that hot, and a lot of puppies and kittens would die. Or mom wouldn't have that many. Usually the size is determined by the availability of food. Well, now you have these females that have such high nutritional intake, their bodies must be telling them there's plenty of food. You know, like with wolves, you know, when there isn't a lot of food, the litters are small. When there is, they're big. So litter sizes are getting bigger, and more dogs are making it through adolescence. And that's a side issue. The real issue here is that nutrition is very good, thanks in part to some work done by some people here at the U of I, by the way, pioneering in pet food research.
Isn't that where they discovered extruded pellets? Didn't they do that here?
I don't know what extruded means.
The little chunks. Oh, this
people are always
nowhere.
Using these big words
it's
on
not
me,
a big
and I have
word.
No idea
it's
what
a little
they're talking
chunk
about.
Of food. I think it was here.
It might have been.
They discovered that.
It might have been. But now there are some dog foods that are, you know, $5 for 100 pounds that I'd stay away from. But for the most part, any commercial food is probably more than the dog actually needs.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that I remember you talking about is that you don't need to feed as much as they say on the package.
Oh, Lord,
certainly
no.
Not for Malamutes.
No, they'll say something ridiculous like 6 to 8 cups and
yeah.
two
well,
cups.
Well, their job
is
selling
adequate.
Dog food, yeah.
Right.
And they don't care if the dog's obese or not.
They will be if they eat that much.
Well, I've seen some of them for a Malamute. Now, we'll feed a 100-pound Malamute 4 cups of regular commercial food. Dry food a day.
And you have working dogs.
And these are
too.
Working dogs. In the winter, we might kick it up a little bit, maybe to 4.5. The bag says for a 100-pound dog, 6 to 8 cups. Mm-hmm. Well, geez,
they get sick of eating.
Yeah, they'd be so fat. What you do, but every dog is individual. You look at the package, you get an idea, but if your dog is getting overweight from whatever mm-hmm. you're feeding, cut it back.
Or otherwise, you'll end up like I am with a dog that's on a special reducing diet at $32 a bag.
We had to enter.
It costs more than our food at home, his food.
Wow.
One of our dogs got so heavy, we put him in a Taibo class to work off
the bags. Kickboxing would have been better.
Plus, of course, a sensible diet.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. We're talking this afternoon about dogs. Our guests are Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. If you'd like to talk with us this afternoon, give us a call in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Anywhere else, toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. Questions about dog training, dog behavior, they're welcome. If you've got a story to share, we'd love to hear
I would
it.
Love it if somebody sure. called in and told us some nice Christmas
story.
Dog stories.
I have
I
a
would
Christmas
love that.
Story.
In last, what a surprise.
In the last week, and this is a cautionary story, in the last week, I don't know how many calls we've gotten for puppies. We don't advertise. People just hear about us because we're world famous, mm-hmm. of course. And I would say we've probably gotten 20 calls since Monday of people wanting puppies. And the reason they want them is it's Christmas. And every Christmas, I think we say this, dogs are not Christmas presents. If it so happens that at this time of the year, that's when you're looking for a dog, that's one thing. But some people have actually said, I want to get a dog for my grandson. Well, how old is your grandson? 11? No, certainly not a Malamute. If you want to get a present for your children, get them something. Don't get them a dog. And there's a thing. The bumper sticker says...
A dog is for life, not for Christmas.
Dog is for life, not for Christmas. That's right.
Very sage advice. We've got a couple of folks waiting to talk with us.
Good. Maybe we have some stories.
And our first caller, or our second caller of the day, is actually on line one. Caller in Urbana, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
First of all, I want to comment, what a great show. I'm really enjoying listening to it.
Oh, thanks.
Second, I have a dog, 7 months old. Jenny is a lab golden retriever, Doberman mix, and Jenny was a cute little puppy and now is just huge and strong and has gotten to the stage that walking her with a leash is difficult for me, and for my wife it's virtually impossible. And so our friends have suggested choke collars. We're kind of opposed to that. And knowing that Jim has Malamutes, I wondered what his philosophy about those are.
Okay. Are you in a car? Or?
Yes, I am. That's does it sound like it?
Yes, it does.
No, he's psychic.
Either that or you're in a steel mill. So I used to work in the steel mills when I was a kid. And that's exactly
psychic
what it's
dog friends.
I hope I don't wreck my car.
No, that's okay. That's not a problem.
Answer for me. I guess I could hang up.
No. That's fine. Okay. I was just wondering because it sounds funny. To train a dog to walk on lead, especially a big dog, strong dog like you have, I think you're going to need a chain, what you call a choke collar, what we professionals call a correction collar.
Oh, well, that makes all that much better then.
It sounds so much better, but yeah, you're choking the dog when you use it. But actually, the choke collar should not be used to choke the dog. We call it a correction collar because the pop that you give the dog lasts less than a half a second, maybe a quarter. You go bang with it, and then you let it loose. And at no time when you're training the dog should they be choking. Sometimes when you get a new dog and they're not used to it, they'll pull and, of course, choke themselves. But that's not the purpose of the collar. There are other collars like prong collars or people call them pinch collars. Those are good for temporarily controlling a dog. But they don't train the dog to do anything. It just hurts them so much they won't pull.
Do you break the dog in on the collar? In other words, do you only use it a portion of the time, or do you use that as the dog's collar?
I would never keep a choke collar on a dog unless I was training it.
All right.
Because and we won't go into the stories, but they get caught on stuff and the dogs can choke to death. So you always leave what kind of collar is that called?
A buckle collar.
Buckle collar. But when you're training them, that's when you get the chokers. Now, they can be made of nylon. They don't have to be made of metal. And the correction you give those very quick, and you're not choking the dog. But I'll tell you two things. One, and I've trained a lot of people to train their dogs, and I think the choker collar, correction collar, is the best way to do it. But secondly, she's at an age now when it's really hard to train. It's like having a 16-year-old kid. No matter what you, or no offense to my 16-year-old kid friends, but no matter what you tell the dog at this point, they're going to do the opposite.
Right.
You know? And you'll be surprised in a few months how much the dog will have learned. It won't appear that way right away. But adolescence, which is the 10-month in a dog, is a tough time. They're big and strong, but they're not mature, you know. So they're feeling their oats and they're bouncing around. Males are, I think, a little worse in this, but.
Well, thank you. I'm going to hang up.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
You know, I like your idea, but with this age dog and they're having a hard time, I'd suggest you get a gentle leader.
Okay. And explain what that is.
This is the way I would do it. Again, a gentle leader, which is I guess you want to think of it as a head halter.
Mm-hmm.
It goes around the nose and up behind the ears, and the dog follows where its head goes, its body goes, and they work remarkably well. So you're not setting up a situation that he could probably evolve into in training, but the dog will learn to walk by his side without any physical confrontation on either the part of the dog or the handler. And then I always, because I love these classes with these dogs. I love that kind of challenge. And I always have the people carry some little treats in their pocket. Mm-hmm. So the dog becomes accustomed to walking by the side without pulling, and it's a good place to be. So, and during this adolescent period, I think that that's probably, in my opinion, be a more effective way to help the dog understand where to be.
We have two callers, but one more thing. To train a dog to walk on lead involves a whole system. The first thing you want to do is teach him to sit and pay attention. Mm-hmm. That's where the food comes in.
There's so many dynamics involved. It's not just the collar.
Yeah, you just don't put a collar on him and start choking him.
And unfortunately, a lot of people
although
think
I like
that
to
that's
do
like...
That.
Stop it.
He's incorrigible.
People think that, you know, you go out and you buy they'll buy one that's way too big for the dog and put it on the dog's neck and boom, the dog's going to know what to do. It doesn't work that way.
Especially if you have a strong dog.
And that way.
You know, you are, when you correct them, it does cause them a little bit of pain. And an adolescent big dog sometimes will ignore the pain. They go, I don't care. That doesn't bother
She's
me.
She's been
that
pulling
much.
Them around mm-hmm. since she was for the last 4 or 5 months.
Right.
So, you know. to me, it's just an easier way to get them to do what you want by approaching it in a different fashion. But that's why Jim and I do the show together, because we're
Because Carol's wrong, and then people will try and say, boy, that Jim turns out to be right.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll hear from this man maybe, you know, in a month or two.
Hope so.
Let's talk with another caller on line two. Another car phone. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon to you. I have a 7-year-old lab, beautiful little, or not little, big dog. And the problem I have is that when I've taken her to a kennel and left her there for 4 or 5 days and bring her home, do dogs pout?
Yes.
This dog, for the last time, it was a good 8 days that she just slunk around the house, and it was as if I'd beat her to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what my options are on some other, short of not taking her to the kennel, because sometimes I've got to. But it's like I've really done her damage, and it takes a week or so before she comes out of it and gets back to her normal self. And since I'm on a car phone, I'd like to just kind of hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Okay. I forgot car phones are expensive. I don't have a car phone.
You
I don't?
Don't?
Even I don't even have a phone.
You don't have a car phone?
No.
You know, it doesn't surprise me.
And I don't read the papers either. And
I don't have a car phone either, Carol.
I do. We have two.
Yeah. Well, I'll get one of yours then. It concerns me a little that this dog is still pouting 8 days later. However,
and the fact that she's 7 years old, too.
Being seven, I was seven once. That doesn't
bother
me.
Well, I know. You know what I'm saying. Stop it.
No, I don't. But yes, dogs do pout. And yes, they can get upset. I don't know what kennel he was taking this dog to.
And she may hate it.
There are kennels and there are kennels. I know one locally. They get the dogs out and play with them, and you know, necessarily the dogs are alone a lot of the day. But some kennels try to get the dogs and give them some entertainment. Some don't, and he might try a different kennel just to see if the dog pouts. But yes, a dog can pout. They can act. You know, oh, I don't need you. I can have fun without you. And absolutely. Now, it's not as complicated as with us, but it's just as noticeable.
I don't think she's pouting. I think she had a bad experience there.
Well,
she sounds more traumatized and stressed than being
in a snit. I would think she'd
get
over it. Whatever it is, she'd get over it a lot faster.
Well, I think you're right. I'd take her someplace else. Then I'd just leave her the one night, pick her up the next day, make it not a big deal. Have it at a place that... Of course, maybe he's had good experience there. Maybe it's just,
yeah,
I don't know.
And again, a lot of dogs...
Sounds like she had some trauma to me, though.
A lot of dogs take that kind of separation differently.
Mine have never been upset when they're boarded. They're thrilled to come home, mm-hmm. but they've never been upset. Of course, I know where they're boarded.
Can try giving her lots of toys to remind her with family odor on it, so she's reminded of that.
An eight-day pout is really...
That's a long time.
That's excessive. Yeah. There might be something else wrong
Because dogs'
her.
Memories aren't really that long. They may... I've had dogs pout for an hour or so, but...
But your charm won them over, I'll bet.
Well, we had a dog, I've told this before, a dog named Nancy. Nancy didn't particularly like me. She didn't like men. Not me in particular. She just didn't like men. And she didn't like, we were talking about the correction collar, she didn't like to be popped at all.
Oh, what a surprise.
You could not pop, and it was one of these dogs where, and it's absolutely true, I'd try to pet her and she'd say, get away from me. Robin would be training her and would accidentally give her a pop, and Nancy would run over to me and sit by me and say to Robin, I'm going to have fun with Jim now, and I'm not going to come back to you, because she just didn't like that. So, dogs can do that kind of thing. 8 days is a long time, though.
I'd be worried about that if that were my dog.
Let's talk with another
Well, that's
caller.
Why he called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's worried
right,
about it.
Right. Well, I think you gave some good advice.
He might also consider some, assuming the kennel will do it, giving the dog some sort of doggy Prozac or something like that.
I Keep think I'd calm. Find another place to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like you suggested, do it just overnight.
You know, and that's something that I think people that get dogs as puppies, they should really put that in their little criteria, things to do,
mm-hmm.
is to kennel the dog someplace overnight and pick them up the next day, and the dog gets used to being put someplace else, and they know that you're going to come back. Because just imagine dogs, you know, you put them in the kennel, you're gone for the whole week of Christmas. They don't know what happened to you. They have no clue. They've never been kenneled before. And it can be, you know, less stressful for the kennel operators to have dogs that are accustomed to being kenneled than...
Okay, let's talk with another caller on line 4 in Bloomington. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was interested in your speaking earlier about Jim being bitten by a dog and Carol's husband being bitten by dogs to draw the blood. And it seems to me that when I was much younger than I am now, there was a legal requirement in the state that any dog biting in that respect would have to be quarantined, and that the person bitten would have to be under observation for rabies.
Well,
is that no
that's why
the
I did not know when I was telling that story. I thought, I shouldn't tell this story. Well, it was not. My dogs are current in their vaccination, so I wasn't concerned about that. But yes, you know, you're right. If someone is bitten by a dog, I would certainly seek medical attention. Now, the bite was not sufficient for medical attention. It was... My attention was sufficient, but and yours too, I would imagine.
Well, in both these cases, when you're thinking about a dog bite, the dog comes up and bites you. These were dogs trying to get food, and your hand kind of being in the way. So that this wasn't cases where you're worried about rabies. In fact, I'm more worried about tetanus, because you know dogs eat poop, and they have fairly dirty mouths. Carol smiles.
That's the truth. Now I really hope Keith's not listening.
Yeah. Then, when they bite you, you know, Lord knows. But I was actually bitten by a dog and went to the hospital. And and the dog was eventually euthanized, and they did a rabies check. And a couple months, and I'm sitting there wondering, well, I wonder if this dog has rabies. And finally I called up. I said, hey, what happened? And they said, oh, there's no rabies. I said, it wouldn't hurt to tell me.
You waited for a couple of months? You would have been foaming at the mouth by then.
Well, you know, every time I sneezed, I thought, I wonder if I have hydrophobia.
But your point is well taken. And,
are the legal requirements, have they been changed? That's what I'm trying to find out.
No.
They have not?
No.
Thanks very much. But Celeste?
Yes.
It seems to me that here recently that it's quite difficult for me to hear in the phone your guests for some reason or other. And before that you push the button for my line, I can hear much better what they're saying. Why is that?
I don't know, but... I'm glad you said that, and I'll look into that with our technical folks, our engineers.
While I'm still on hold, I hear you much better.
I know what you're saying. I never call in myself, so I don't know about that experience, but I believe that that is a real possibility. I believe you, and I'll look into it.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, take care.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Next caller is on line 1 in Champaign. Good afternoon.
Is that me?
That's you.
I can just barely hear you, but that's okay. I want to make a comment about the 8-day problem. I suspect that person is pleading with the dog. A lot of times when they do that to you, if you just say, all right, that's how you want it, here's your food, I'm going off and read a book, you want to see me, come see me, you want to go out, I'll let you out. I don't know, but I think that's an answer.
In other words, the dog acts...
He's playing on your sympathy.
Right.
Look, I'll make you feel rotten.
Well,
I agree that that's... our concern was it went on for 8 days, and usually a dog can't remember those kinds of slights and infractions
that long. The dog is reading the owner very well. Ah, there must be something now. I'm getting all kinds of attention.
It would be interesting to hear if because of the change in behavior, he was giving her extra bones or...
That's the usual reaction.
Letting her stay up later and stuff
like
that.
Well, you know, that all has some merit, too, but why 8 days? I mean, that
yeah,
would
that's
be a,
the problem.
It would be a lifetime behavior, then, that you're going to see. And the ninth day...
The dog gets tired of doing that, the thing. goes back to what it does normally.
The other thing we should have mentioned is the dog's immune system will go down under stress.
Oh, yeah.
And the dog may be picking up
a bug?
A doggy bug that lasts about 8 days.
That's a possibility, but I would be inclined to think that it's the dog reacting to the behavior of the owner and then just getting tired of reacting that way and going back to normal.
Yeah, we'd have to. It's too bad we couldn't have asked him more questions about,
like, where he lived so he could go stay there for a while.
in case he was giving extra treats. Yeah, to see how he was reacting to.
Yeah. Well, that was my point.
It's entirely possible.
It's my contribution for the day. Thank you very
much.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's talk with another caller on line two, caller in Oakwood. Hi.
So I have had a problem that popped up recently. I have a Dalmatian, a fairly high-strung dog, that rides with me almost constantly. And he rides in the back seat of a truck with me. And I work out in the field a lot, and we stop a lot. He jumps out and runs around the truck and smells here and there, and then he jumps back in. But occasionally, and I've noticed this just this fall in the last month or so, occasionally, all of a sudden, he doesn't want to sit in the back seat. He will either jump over and jump into the back of the truck, or he wants to get out. And then once he gets out, he doesn't want to get back in. And I have decided what it is. Is it that it's been so dry? And he has a board, a large piece of plywood with a fleece throw on it for him to lay on. And it is my assumption, and I have no way to prove this, that he is getting getting static electricity, and he's getting shocked.
That's possible.
And because it's so, I normally then decide that, you know, for some reason he doesn't want to be in the back seat, so I throw the fleece over in the back and maybe put a blanket or something else I have in there, and usually in an hour or two it seems to, the problem seems to subside. But he just really wants to avoid that back seat then for a while, and if that is the problem, what do you suggest?
Well, how old is this dog?
I picked him up as a stray. I've had him about 4 years, so I figure he's probably around six.
That's kind of interesting.
You say when you put the fleece aside and put something else there, the dog eventually will go back in.
Yeah.
But he won't go back in even eventually if you leave the fleece there.
Well, I don't. I mean, he seems to, once he gets out, he doesn't want to get back in. I have a real hard time convincing him he's got to get back in because I got to leave. I figure something. I got to do something, and so I do. You know, so I don't leave the fleece there. Mm-hmm. You know, continually. I do leave it there initially for maybe a half hour, and decide that. And he just gets more reticent to get in.
Well, how is he in the front seat? Although it's not safe for him up there, I'm sure. But how does he ride in the front seat?
Well, the front seat's got books and various things piled up, so there's no room on the front seat for him. It has bucket seats, and so he just goes through between the bucket seats and gets in the back seat. And I have it fixed so it's easy for him to get into the back seat. But there's no room in the front seat for him. Oh. Not in this vehicle. Now, in my car, he rides in the front seat a lot, but he doesn't.
Here are thoughts that are occurring to me. One, you may have... I don't know if you clean the fleece at all. Do you ever wash it?
Yeah, I wash it periodically.
He may be taking offense to the detergent that you're using. It may smell bad to him, although we, of course, wouldn't notice anything. And if you've changed the detergent recently, that might annoy him. I think your thought that he's picking up static electricity is a good one. You know, he gets these little shocks, and dogs, of course, don't understand why. And so the first thing that and dogs are very territorial. If they're hurt in a certain place, they don't want to go to that place anymore. They don't understand, well, the place had nothing to do with it. It was something else, but you can't convince them otherwise. So that's probably a thought. There might be something else in the back seat that maybe You know, you might have put a mouse trap in there and he stepped on it. And
there could be something rolling around on the floor, something that could
anything else
him.
In the back that might have frightened him.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever in a car accident with him? And he was in the
no.
back?
Not in any of these vehicles. I rolled a truck with him once, but he didn't seem to mind that. He jumped out the window.
Well, now there could be a problem, too.
But that was years ago. This is something that happens in the middle of the afternoon after he's been riding around in the seat for hours. And like I said,
well, maybe he just wants to get out and stretch his legs.
He may have figured out that he doesn't want to go back in.
He goes in and out, you know, every half hour. He's in and out usually once or twice. So, I mean, going to the bathroom shouldn't be a problem.
Maybe he wants to stretch his legs.
The cure, I think, is the same no matter what cause. See, here's the thing. We don't know what caused it because we'd have to look at everything. But I think your ideas are pretty good. When you entice him to get into the seat again, what do you do? You say, Fido, let's go, or...
Yeah, well, I just insist that he's got to get in, and he'll stand up there, and finally I say, well, okay, I guess he has to get in, and so then he will get in, but then he jumps gets in the back seat, and then jumps over the seat into the back behind it, because he doesn't seem to want to be on the seat, and he will then lay down in the back, but like I say, I can throw the fleece back there, and he will lay on it back there.
Well, why don't you just get rid of that fleece?
Yeah,
that might be a big part of your problem. Isn't that the golden fleece? You just get a put a blanket
back there. The blanket sounds fine.
Something new and fresh, and put a toy back there for him.
But I've over the years given up my pride, and we use cookies constantly. We use cookies to get the dogs.
See, he's really a nice guy, isn't he?
Out of the runs. We use cookies to get them back into the runs. We get them to go into the crates. And just about every time we go through 20-pound boxes of cookies about a week. What I would do with the dog, at least temporarily, to induce him to get back in and not waste your time, is just give him a cookie and say, here, and throw it in the back and he'll run and chase it. A lot of people don't like to do that because they feel the dog is getting the best of them, and that may be, but you're not wasting your time. And as I said, I used to spend an hour in the morning just moving dogs in and out of runs and crates, and I've cut that down to 5 minutes by using the cookies, and I save a lot of time. And the dogs don't care one way or the other. So you could try doing that, either getting rid of the fleece, or the fleece I like because they're nice and soft.
Well, the dog doesn't like it, so it doesn't
matter.
Well,
but put a blanket over it or something like that so it isn't annoying him.
Maybe it's, you know, that fleece that slips and slides around that back seat unless it's cloth.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. It's an insecure.
Well, I was just thinking of putting something over it so that the dog isn't being shocked or whatever.
How's that?
Yeah, well, he normally seems to like the fleece. I mean, it's just... Mm-hmm. You know, in the middle of the afternoon, all of a sudden it seems to come up.
I have a feeling that that Carol was on to something. He is just bored, and it's become a game with him and you about getting into the car. That's a possibility.
Yeah. I would say that.
Could be he just wants to be out there and play with you, you know.
Because what the dog thinks is a game and what you think is a game.
And it's more fun to run around than sit in the car forever.
Mm-hmm. And finally he gives up and goes in. But it's the fleece. You know, he doesn't want to lay on that fleece.
Well, there's
some
possibilities.
Give us a call next month,
we'll know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just take a lot of cookies and throw them in the back. And you'll save time anyway, if nothing else.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call this afternoon. We've got about 5 minutes left, so if you'd like to join us this afternoon, give us a call, 333-WILL, that's the number in Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 1-800-222-9455.
I wish somebody would call with a nice story.
I have a little story.
Okay.
We had, as you know, we had a Weimaraner when I was a kid, when we were kids, and this dog loved being around the Christmas tree. And we would decorate the Christmas tree with, you know, usual ornaments and that kind of thing. But we also hung candy canes on the tree. And she would sit underneath a candy cane, and she would very delicately suck
the
candy cane. And it took us a while to sort of figure out what was going on, but the stripes would disappear. stripes would disappear off the candy canes.
Oh, interesting. She liked mint. That's so strong.
Yeah. And then they would, she knew if she pulled too hard, see, the tree would start to move toward her. So she would sit there and she'd just, like, you know, slurp away at the candy cane and the stripes would disappear. And then pretty soon they'd come to a point.
Patience.
Yeah.
They're so smart.
That'd be good for those coprophagic dogs.
a little candy cane for their breath mint. I was playing with the tree last Saturday, and since I don't have my cat any longer, I can now put doves and things in there. And I was thinking about all the Christmases past and how much pleasure you get from your pets. And I'd put the doves up there, and the cat would crawl up to get the doves. And I put things underneath
Poor doves. Oh.
They were... It used to just tickle me, and I was looking at the ornaments, and there's some that have no eyes. They've been crunched, because I like lifelike things, like stuffed animals under the tree, and then I put them under there. Everything was done, lit the tree. Hulky walks in the living room, looks under that tree. There's a teddy bear under there, and he sticks his head in, pulls it out. He was so happy, because he thought I put it there for him. Now that stuff just... It makes me so thrilled. I just get a kick out of that. Yeah.
When I was a kid, we had a boxer, and the boxer, my mom would put spun glass on over the tree after we decorated it, so it would have kind of a surreal effect. She still does that, I think. And the boxer used to like to eat the spun glass.
See how different we are? I just tell this nice little warm, fuzzy story. What you tell him about dog eating spun glass.
That makes me hurt.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the end result?
That stuff, I just hate it. You know,
I hope your mom's not listening.
It would get on the rug. My mother won't listen to me for anything. Oh. And I don't listen to her, no. Whoops, there goes my Christmas. Darn.
Lump of coal for
you, lump of coal. James but it would always get in the rug, and you'd step on it, and it would get in your feet.
Ah. Let's take another call. A caller on line one in Champaign.
Hope it's not my mom.
I hope it is.
Mrs. Keel?
Hello?
Hello. Caller on line one, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hi. I have a 11-year-old Border Collie, Australian Shepherd mix, and I've had her all her life from the pound. And unfortunately, she's become really clingy lately. For instance, when even just walking around the house, she'll just stand right behind me and follow me everywhere. And I'm not sure why. I even took her to the vet to see if, you know, maybe her bursitis or something. She was in pain.
I have one like that, too.
Oh, really? So it's getting a little annoying. I actually work at home, so I'm home all the time.
I know Jim's got a theory over here. You want to hear my theory?
Yeah.
How's her hearing?
Oh, it's her hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think it's fine because she can. For instance, she heard the UPS man just a minute ago.
Mm-hmm. My dog's hearing is severely limited, and she has become incredibly clingy since she started to lose her hearing. Uh huh.
Oh.
It's not uncommon for older dogs to do that.
Okay.
And speaking of my mother, she complains that my dad does this all the time too. But.
You shouldn't have done that, Celeste.
See, I didn't tell them this week that I was on the radio, so they probably forgot.
I hope they're not listening.
Me too.
See, test her hearing. Stand behind her and clap. Things like the UPS truck, I mean, my God.
It might be hearing, but
an age.
It's an age function. They start to just stay by you, and there's no real explanation. Here's the reason why, but it's a very... very, very common phenomenon for older dogs. They just want to be by you all the time. And at first it's kind of endearing, and then after a while it's annoying.
Yeah.
But, there's nothing unusual, and there's not much you can do about it except to give her reassurance.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good to know. Well, that's the only question I had.
Okay. Thanks for the call this afternoon. And there we have to leave it. We're out of time.
It was nice to see you again.
Oh, well, it was great to see you guys again.
Been a while.
It's always great to have the first Friday of the month roll around.
I have a feeling I'm not getting any presents this year.
Celeste, are you going to mail his mom that tape, really?
Oh, no.
Let's check that list twice. Who's been naughty and
I think
been nice.
Yeah, both your mom and your dad we mad at
you
now.
Oh, yeah, I know. See, and people think I only insult just the general public.
He left the general public alone today. Did you notice that?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll see you in January.
All right. Merry
Christmas. New millennium.
Merry
Happy
Christmas.
New Year.